Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the first half 2013 results disclosure conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, on Tuesday, the 17th of September, 2013. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your leader today, Alexander Tokarczuk. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the conference call to discuss and present DTEK's production performance and unaudited consolidated financial results for the first half of 2013. This conference call is being recorded, as was said already, and the replay will be available for you on our website. And now I'm more glad to present you our today's speakers. It is Mr. Yuriy Reznikov, our Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Andrey Fyodorov, our Commercial Director, Mr. Vsevolod Starukhin, our Chief Financial Officer, and myself, Alexander Tokarczuk, Director for External Affairs. And before we start, I would like to draw your attention that some of the information presented during this call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements on DTEK's future performance. By their nature, forward-looking statements are subject to numerous assumptions, risks, and uncertainties. Also, though they do our consolidated financial reporting in Ukrainian hryvnias, for your convenience of comparison as well as analysis during this call, we'll convert some of our key financial indicators to approximate U.S. dollars values using actual central bank exchange rate as of June 30th of 2013, and it was 7.99 hryvnias per one U.S. dollar. So now I would like to give the call over to Mr. Yuriy Reznikov. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to give you a few insights about Ukrainian key macroeconomic indicators during the reporting period. The GDP of Ukraine decreased by 1.1% in the first quarter 2013 and by 1.3% in the second quarter 2013, whereas it did grow in the first quarter 2012 and second quarter 2012 by 2.2% and 3%, respectively. The first half of 2013 has been marked by the deflation of 0.2%, whereas the prices of industrials increased by 3.7%. We had a decrease in exports of goods and services by 6.5% in the first half of 2013, and the imports fell by 12.8%. The major industries decreased output volumes by average 5.3% against the first half of 2012. Coming back to the key sectors where DTEK operating, in the coal mining, the production fell by 6.3% and amounted to just 40.7 million tons in the first half of 2013, and the consumption of the coal fell by 3.3% and amounted to 34.2 million tons. The power generation in total in the country fell by 3.2% and amounted to 97 billion kWh in the first half of the year. Now, coming to DTEK key highlights in the reporting period. First of all, DTEK largely completed its acquisitions of the core target assets in terms of M&A activity, and currently, the focus of the company is on the efficiency in all of the business segments, including coal mining, power generation, electricity distribution, as well as commercial operations, wind power, and oil and gas projects. DTEK continued considerably invest to modernize its assets, increasing their output and efficiencies. And during the reporting period, DTEK demonstrated robust financial performance that will be presented by Vsevolod Starukhin during the call later. Coming to DTEK's operational results for the reporting period. Coal production and processing. DTEK Enterprises increased coal production by 0.2% year-on-year in the first half of 2013, and the coal processing plants of the company also raised production in the first half of the year. The raw coal processing increased by 7% year-on-year, and production of concentrate grew by 4%. The growth was mainly due to the acquisition of the Russian coal companies, three coal mines and one processing plant in the year last year. Factors affecting the production performance was the surplus of the G-grade coal in the coal market of Ukraine that caused the reduction of number of operating units in the thermal power plants. also, as I said, the increase of the coal production was driven by inclusion of Russian enterprises into the consolidation for the first half of 2013. In the electricity generation, the DTEC electricity generation companies grew in the output 2.9% year-on-year in the second quarter of 2013. Yet overall, for the first half of the year, the company reduced electricity supply by 5.2% due to the effect of the first quarter of the year 2013. And the performance of the power generating units was mainly affected by the market factors. First of all, it was an increase of electricity supply by the hydropower plants in Ukraine by 42.9%, which reduced in the reduction of the electricity supplies by the thermal power generators. The electricity consumption by industrial consumers decreased by 7.6% and the household consumers by 0.9%. Also, a number of alternative power generators came online, including our Botio wind farm, which started generating electricity from 1st of January 2015. In electricity distribution, although the DTEC electricity distribution companies in the reporting period increased electricity purchased from the wholesale electricity market by 29% year-on-year in the first half 2015, in the second quarter they reduced electricity purchased by 1.3% due to the lower demand from the industrial enterprises. Also, the increase that we saw in the first quarter of 2015 was mainly driven by the consolidation of the DTEC Dnipro-Energo and DTEC Krim-Energo, which were acquired by the company in April and May 2012. DTEC continued its modernization program in first half 2013 with a number of major projects. In the coal production, DTEC invested $78.4 million into the technical re-equipment of long walls, and out of which $30 million were invested in the renewal of the tunnel equipment and modernization of the transport chain. DTEC total CAPEX in the coal production the first half 2013 stayed at a similar level to the first half 2012, which was $2,035 million for 2013 and $247 million for the first half 2012. And the power generation, DTEC continued the projects for the retrofit of power units of its power stations. We started the unit number one at Krivoroshka thermal power plant in the second quarter of 2013. And that project will ensure the increase of this service line life of the unit by 15 to 20 years. In addition, it will increase the capacity of the unit, and the maneuverability range will grow from 100 megawatts to 215 megawatts. Since 2012, as part of the thermal power plant modernization, DTEC has retrofitted several electric filters to achieve dust emissions levels in accordance with the Directive 2001/80 of the European Commission. Also, DTEC continued the technical re-equipment of the power units number 13 at Luganskaya thermal power plant and number 5 at Bushtinskaya power plant, which are scheduled to be completed within the next 2 months. Also, we continued the retrofit of the unit number 8 at Dobrotvorskaya power station, which is scheduled to be completed within December-January period. During the year, we have completed already the retrofit of block number 1 at Karakhovskaya thermal power station. And the total investment over the year in the retrofit and in mentioned projects was $250 million, of which $45 million were invested in the new electric filters for those power blocks. The total CAPEX for the power generation in the first half 2013 was $203 million, which is almost double from the first half 2012 when it was $125 million. DTEC distribution companies completed projects of retrofit and construction of the new substations in the first half 2013. All of the projects were mainly focused on the reliability of electricity supplies to industrial and household consumers. And the total CAPEX of DTEC for power distribution in the first half 2013 amounted to $45 million against $29 million in the first half 2012. Now I would like to hand over to Andrey Fyodorov, who is going to present DTEK's key highlights on commercial operations in this year.
Thank you, Yuri. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to spend some time talking about the trends, commercial trends, and on the global and Ukrainian markets that have affected and our results. First, I'd like to point out the current conditions on the coal market worldwide. As you probably know, the prices for steam coal globally have been falling, largely due to the shale gas phenomenon in the United States, as well as increased Indonesian and Colombian exports to our traditional markets in Europe. However, some of these negative factors have been offset by the positive increases in the China's coal imports, which in the first half of 2013 have went up by 13%, and rising demand in the metallurgical sector, which allows for an opportunity for us to use our anthracite coal as a means of replacing on the coking coal. In the Ukrainian market, being part of the world market, have been affected by this global trends, and there is a pronounced surplus on the market of locally produced steam coal, which has been caused by the accident at a state-owned Uglegorskaya thermal power plant, and as the result, the state-owned mines have increased their sales of coal to DTEK and DTEK power plants. Furthermore, this has affected negatively the prices on the local market as well as the export markets. However, having said this, I think it's fair to mention that the overall in the first half of 2013, the coal exports have increased by 43% to 2.1 million tons. And we have increased presence in our key traditional markets as well as increased deliveries to Asian markets, which are offering some of the better conditions. On the electricity market, the first half of the year have been characterized by a few key drivers. First of all, the electricity consumption in Ukraine, outside of the temperature factor, went down by 4.1%. due to slow growth of the key industries and energy efficiency projects at some of these facilities. Furthermore, we had one of the largest outputs of hydropower over the in recent history. It's grown by 3.2 billion kilowatt hours, and as such, they took market share away from the thermal power plants. Finally, the third key factor in February of 2013 was one of the warmest Februaries. Its average temperature was around 0 degrees, whereas previous year in February 2012 was one of the coldest Februaries on record. This resulted in additional 2.3, so we lost 2.3 billion kilowatt hour of production due to the temperature factors. Overall, electricity consumption in Ukraine in the first half of the year was reduced by 2.8 billion kilowatt hours, which is 3.1%. We have concentrated on our efforts on offsetting this decline in consumption of electricity by increasing our efforts, by increasing our exports. However, the global electricity markets continue to be challenging, to offer challenging market environments. If we take German market prices as an indicator, we will see that the approximately 15% decline in the pricing from first half of the year 2012 to first half of the year 2013. Again, the factors influencing this decline is the slowing down of European economy, mild temperatures, and renewable, including hydro generation in Europe, which made thermal power plants less likely to come on. However, given these statements, we still fully intend to fulfill all our plans and hit our target numbers for export volumes for 2013. To focus on DTEK key highlights for the commercial operations for the reporting period, I would like to point out that on the export of electricity, we have increased the exports first half to first half by 655 million kilowatt hours, And exports have grown to all our key markets, including Moldova, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, Poland, and Belarus. One of the key drivers, one of the key events in the first half of 2013 was an increase by system operator of the transmission capacity out of Bursten Island from 500 megawatts to 650 megawatts. This has been accomplished by the upgrade of the Bursten power plant itself, its network capacity, as well as a contract that was concluded between the system operators to provide for the reserve capacity from a regional group of system operators in Eastern Europe. We continue to enjoy the positive net economic effect generated by exports due to the vertical integration model of our business. When we look at the coal exports, we can, as I mentioned earlier, we have increased our coal export by 43%, and we have grown our supplies to Russian Federation, Moldova, China, Belgium, Turkey, among other key markets for us. We have spent some time in the first half of a year, increasing our presence in the Asian markets and establishing ourselves, especially on the anthracite side of the market rather than the steam coal. We're working closely with some of the metallurgical facilities in China and South Korea, we have made some strides in confirming the economic viability of using anthracite as replacement for coke technologies in blast furnaces. Furthermore, we have expanded our cooperation with the leading energy companies such as EDF and E.ON to supply Ukrainian thermal coal to the power plants in Europe. We have further increased deliveries of the steam coal to the closest markets in the Mediterranean. We continue to target our sales and go after the key markets that I mentioned before and going really after the end consumers in structuring our deals. In the first half of 2013, we have not imported any coal into Ukraine for our facilities. Also, it's important to notice that in the first half of 2013, DTEC has entered the oil and gas business due to continuing implementation of our vertical integration model. DTEC, together with other companies within the SKM group, accounts for approximately 6 billion cubic meters of natural gas consumption per year. In 2013, DTEC has reached an agreement to purchase shares of Naftogaz Dobyvanya, which is the largest private gas production company in Ukraine, which is anticipated and estimated can produce up to 1.5 billion cubic meters of natural gas. As part of vertical integration model and expansion of our activities, DTEC Trading obtained a 5-year license for natural gas supply and trading within Ukraine. It's helped secure its active position in internal and external gas markets. Furthermore, in July 2013, DTEC has begun importing natural gas from Europe to further complement our position on the production of natural gas from the company that we have acquired. We'll continue to pursue all possible and economically justifiable means of securing our own supply and continue to work with our European and Ukrainian partners to acquire an economically viable supply of natural gas for us and other sister companies at SKM. Having said this, I would like to hand over the report to Vsevolod Staruhin, who is going to present DTEC key financials for first half of 2013.
Thank you very much. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. First half of the year, group financial results reflect challenging market environment, consolidation of the companies acquired in 2012, and management focus on offsetting adverse market situation. Now let me take you through the highlights of the group financial performance. Total revenue increased by 14.4%, posting 5.5 billion. Adjusted EBITDA decreased by 11.7%, arriving at $900 million. Net profit came at $150 million. Net operating cash flow for the period was $249 million. Leverage stayed at comfortable level with net debt EBITDA ratio at 1.3, which provide business with sufficient flexibility in delivering strategic objectives and maintaining comfortable position in the tight debt market situation. Running through the numbers in more details, revenue were up by $690 million. The main drivers of this increase were growth in the electricity distribution revenues by $744 million, which reflect full-period consolidation of Dnipro Oblenergo and Krimenergo. Power generation revenue increased by $290 million, offsetting reduction in the third-party coal sales of $196 million following consolidation of Dnipro Energo acquired in the first quarter of 2012. Kyiv Energo posted $920 million revenue, including heat tariff compensation, which was lower by $143 million versus prior year due to positive one-off impact in the last year results, which was a recognition of the heat tariff compensation related to the prior periods. Despite export market price decline, our export revenues were stable at $476 million, which is 1% growth year-on-year, benefiting from underlying volume growth. Almost 60% of the revenue came from the electricity export and 40% from the coal export. Cost of sales was up by $890 million, reflecting both business growth as well as the segment mix changes. Main drivers of the increase were cost of electricity purchased from the wholesale market by the distribution companies contributed with $707 million increase. Increase in environmental taxes and general cost inflation brought $150 million increase year-on-year. Growth in depreciation charge as a result of the intensive CAPEX program resulted in $62 million increase. Now, with regard of the consolidated group EBITDA, it decreased in the reported period by 11% from $1 billion to $900 million. The key drivers of this change were the following. Growth of the electricity supply to the wholesale electricity market by 11%. The effect basically of the full period consolidation of Dnipro Energo resulted in a $47 million positive change. Growth of the electricity supply tariff on average by 4.3% year-on-year resulted in a $94 million increase. Growth of electricity production cost by increase of environmental tax rate and the coal production cost inflation resulted in a $60 million adverse impact on the EBITDA. Growth in profits from electricity distribution and sales following full period consolidation of the new companies Dnipro Energo and Krimenergo resulted in the $38 million EBITDA improvement. Decrease in the heat production profitability reflects a positive one-off receipt in the last year base, as I mentioned before, resulted with $132 million negative impact on the EBITDA. And overall, we have seen reduction in profitability for our trading operations in the reported period. Basically, in the electricity export, we have experienced $22 million reduction of the profitability due to the decrease in the sales tariffs. We have also seen changes in the profit from coal exports by $45 million reduction due to decrease in the sales prices. That's impact of $76 million, which was partially offset by the volume growth, which resulted in the improvement by $31 million. Changes in profit from coal sales in domestic market resulted in $111 million decline in the EBITDA due to average sales price mix impacts. We have seen $44 million reduction and the third-party volume sales decreased by 45% following consolidation of Zahid Energo, Dnipro Energo, Genkos, who previously were third-party customers and to whom we have been delivering the coal. EBITDA margin decreased from 20.8% to 16%, reflecting changes in the business segment mix, increased share of low-margin distribution business from 34% to 44%, and lower profitability from trading operations. Net profit was down by 60% from $372 million to $150 million following EBITDA decrease, as well as reduction forex gains and increased financial costs related to the Eurobond issue early in the year. Net operating cash flow posted $249 million, year-on-year decrease $55 million. Key factors of the changes were reduction in earnings, $211 million negative impact, positive change in the working capital by $275 million, driven by decrease in receivables, which offset, more than offset, coal stock increase and decreases in accounts payable and prepayments received. Cash flow was also affected by income tax payments increased by $82 million following the tax code changes from the beginning of the year, and the growing interest payments by $26 million, which is changing in line with our credit portfolio changes. At the end of the reporting period, group accumulated close to $430 million cash and equivalents on the accounts. Now a few words about the CapEx. In the first half of the year, it grew by $42 million, with total spend coming at $570 million. This increase mainly relates to retrofitting projects that Genkos acquired in 2012, Dnipro Energo and Zahid Energo, which contributed with $77 million increase in the CapEx, and investments in the distribution companies by $18 million, basically the same reason. These were partially offset by lower investments in coal mining and the greenfield wind farm greenfield construction by $53 million reduction of the spend versus same period last year. A few words about the group debt. Our debt profile stayed at healthy level. At the end of the reported period, net debt EBITDA ratio was at 1.3. Gross debt stood at $2.9 billion, representing approximately $320 million increase versus beginning of the year. 84% of the debt is a long term. Average debt maturity is 3.7 years. From currency breakdown, our debt profile was primarily in dollars, 66%, then 29% in euro, and 5% in hryvnias. As of today, the group has secured over $500 million in available bank credit lines. To summarize, we believe that our financial results in the first half of the year demonstrate genuine business resilience to the challenging economic market environment and continuous focus on turning around companies acquired in the last 2 years. Despite demand contraction and pressure on prices, business growth combined with a strong balance sheet provides group with necessary financial strengths to meet all the challenges with confidence. Thank you for your attention. Now I would like to pass the call back to Alexander.
Thank you, Всеволод. Now we are ready to answer your questions, and as usual, we kindly ask all participants to state their company name as well as give us some time in order to prepare answers for you. And today, as the last call, we also take questions through the web panel, so if it's inconvenient for you to ask a question over the phone, please feel free to use our web interface. So now, operator, we are ready to start the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question today, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. So that's star and one if you have any questions. Once again, as a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question today comes from Emmy Algabra from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much for the presentation. And I was just wondering if you could give us an update on where you see your full year key operational lines, such as coal mining, etc. Thank you.
Thanks for the question. Mr. Rezhenkov will answer your question.
Yes, just in short, in terms of the coal mining activity, we will see similar levels to last year plus the full year consolidation of the Russian assets, which will give us approximately slightly above 41 million tons of raw coal mining.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the electricity generation, we thanks to exports of electricity, we will see similar volumes of generation as last year. So it's not going to be considerably different to the last year.
Okay. And in terms of your debt, is there a level of yields on in the Eurobond market in which you would consider coming back to the market again, maybe next year, for example?
Okay, this is Всеволод Старухин. I will answer your question. Right now, we are basically have completed our public debt or semi-public debt issuing with a Eurobond successful placement in the first half of the year, which actually was, as I'm not mistaken, the lowest level, the corporate's coupon from Ukraine.
Yep.
Right now, the markets do not offer a similar opportunity, and to be honest, we don't foresee it in the coming, 6 months at least. However, if the opportunity would be for us to print the same level of the coupon bond, we would consider it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Galkin from VTB. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is about the CapEx funding for the rest of the year. It sounds like, and I got confused, you say that you are revising CapEx, and maybe I missed something, but you also have this full year plan of 1.5 billion for the whole year, and then you only spent about half a billion in the first half, so you're about to spend a billion in July, December. How are you planning to fund this CapEx, please? And I apologize if you answered partially to this question. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Mr. Ryzhenkov will answer.
In terms of the overall CapEx program, we are planning about 1.4 billion to be spent for the whole year 2015. There is a certain cyclicality in the CapEx spend because majority of the contracts are being concluded in the first half of the year and they're being completed towards the second half of the year. That's why there is this discrepancy between the first half and the remaining part of the year. In terms of the funding mainly comes from the free cash flow generated by the business, and also it's partially going to be covered by the bank loans which are already in place.
Thank you.
I mean, can I just follow up on the cash flow? Your cash flow generation was not particularly impressive in the first half. I mean, can you just maybe outline out of say $900 million that you're going to spend in the second half, how much will be your internally generated cash flow, and how much will be new borrowings, please?
Unfortunately, due to the restrictions in the disclosure policy, we are not able to give any financial forecasts as to the end of the year. So please follow us on the disclosure on the full year results at a later stage. Thank you. Next question, please.
At the moment, there are no further questions, but if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad.
Yes, and we'll check the web. So currently no further questions on the web panel. Is anybody more interested?
No further questions on the phone lines.
Let's give people one more minute if somebody is still trying to get through.
Okay, we do have another couple of questions coming through. The first one from Stella Critch from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering if I could ask a question on your working capital moves. Could you give us a bit of an idea of breakdown, particularly on the receivables front, and whether you see any reversal of that in the second half? And perhaps if I could also ask about Kiev Energo. You said that output there was reduced due to the cutting of the gas consumption. Do you expect that to change in the second half, or should we expect this to remain similar for the latter part of the year? That's all for me. Thanks.
So, Всеволод, to start answering, followed by Mr. Ryzhenkov.
Yes, on the receivables, the situation with the compensation difference in tariffs for the heat generating companies overall in the country is the following. Basically, on let's say quarterly basis, more or less, the balances of heat delivered being confirmed via acts of acceptance, and the difference in tariffs being compensated via the government or the local authorities. So there is no precise, let's say, time frame, like, you know, every first month of the new quarter it happens. So that's why we have a growth of our receivables until the settlement takes place. In the past, we have been quite successful in clearing it, and that's what I mentioned. Our heat tariff compensation receivable was lower at the end of this 6 months, because in the last year we have the heat tariff compensation in our books related also to the prior years, which was not cleared. As for this year, we have quite fresh balances, I would say, related just to this basically last 6 months, which was not settled.
And that is actually answers your question for Kyivenergo as well. In Kyivenergo last year, we received tariff compensations for the prior periods, which related to 2011-2010, whereas this year we are looking at just the last few months of 2012. We're talking about literally about December-November period and the first 10 months of this year. That's the difference. It's not the difference in the gas consumption. It's rather in the tariff differences being created to us on more timely manner than before.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Your next question comes from Alexander Parashi of Concord Capital. Please go ahead.
good afternoon. So actually, I also had a question on Kyivenergo. I know that Kyivenergo is currently trying to secure some compensation from the state budget for the heating losses. So my question is whether the company will be able to secure compensation for the whole year in full, because we know that currently the state budget has actually maybe has no money to compensate to the company. And my second question is about your new business, gas production. When are you going to start consolidating this business in the tech financials? Thank you.
Okay, I'll start. Yuri Zhenkov here. I'll start with the compensation of the tariff losses or tariff differences. Well, first of all, there is a line in the budget for the compensation. If I'm not mistaken, it's amounting to 5.2 billion hryvnias, and our tariff differences are much lower than that figure, on one hand. On the second hand, the local commission, the local council, confirms to us the differences in the tariffs, so they basically confirm that they are liable to pay this difference. That's number two, and that's a big difference from the previous years when we couldn't secure timely confirmations of those differences from the local councils. And number three, the history shows that we're being reimbursed those differences in full. That has been reimbursed for 2012, 2011, 2010, even though the problem with the budget was very similar. So we are pretty confident that we will be able to acquire the full compensation of the differences that we have presented.
So your profitability in heating segment will be positive this year?
Well, I cannot give you the forecast, as you know, but you can see what's happening in our financials for the first half of the year, and that's pretty much reflective.
It's a bit negative, no?
It's close to break-even.
Close to break-even. Considering that it's a cost, basically, based tariffs,
mm-hmm.
until the system changes, that's going to be break-even.
Okay, thanks.
With oil and gas, Naftogaz, the Bitcher consolidation right now, we cannot give you, unfortunately, the precise date. The reason for that is that we just have submitted to the necessary anti-monopoly authorities application to approve the acquisition of the shares in this company, both in Ukraine and the European anti-monopoly authorities, and we cannot tell you exact time by when they would grant us this approval.
So it won't be in the third quarter of 2013, yeah?
Well, it's definitely unlikely going to be in third quarter. We shall see how much time beyond it it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Your next question comes from Michael Galkin from VTB. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's me again. I just wanted you to remind us your leverage appetite in terms of net debt to EBITDA. Given that basically you have these variables on the operating performance and prices, and you have the CapEx. So at what stage will you be deferring your expansionary CapEx in terms of debt to EBITDA, please?
Let me answer this question. Our let's say appetite is to basically to stay and not to exceed 2x net debt EBITDA in the growth in the challenging market situation as we see right now without let's say drastic cuts on the CapEx program. If we will be see that the market situation is deteriorating and we are not able to sustain that leverage, we will be definitely taking the more drastic steps to cut on our and delay on our investment programs.
So you're still sticking to 2x debt to EBITDA commitment?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question, please.
There are no further questions on the phone lines. Please continue.
Okay, so since there are no further questions on the web panel as well, we start closing the call, and thank you again for listening to us today. And as a reminder, our financial and production results reported today, as well as the recording of this call, will be available at our website at www.gtech.com. And of course, as usual, if you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact our investor relations officer, Ms. Alena Simikina. And we're always available for you for one-on-one meetings, conference calls, site visits, or other form of communication. Thank you and have a pleasant evening. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may all disconnect.